Roadmap with Robots, the podcast for news and views on robotics. And welcome to the 92nd episode of Robots. Today we have a short episode following up on the robotics roadmap, which was first discussed in an episode podcast in February this year, focusing on the national funding strategies of Japan. Today we'll be exploring the funding landscape in the United States with Henrik Christensen, KUKA Chair of Robotics at the College of Computing, Georgia Institute of Technology. But first, as always, let's get the news with Christine.
Thank you. This week's main news was undoubtedly the launch of NASA's Mars Science Laboratory Curiosity. The Curiosity rover, currently cruising towards Mars, is remarkable because of its size. At 900 kilograms, it weighs as much as a small car and will be the largest spacecraft to ever land on Mars, as well as its mission and landing system. The rover will not only continue the search for life on Mars, it will also run extensive tests to investigate the habitability of the red planet for a future manned mission. Due to its weight, the new rover will not be able to land on inflated air cushions like former rovers. Instead, the landing craft carrying the rover will hover over the intended landing spot and slowly lower the rover using a system of cables before flying off and crash landing away from the landing site. Curiosity is scheduled to touch down in August 2012. And in other news, researchers have developed a large robotic teddy bear to help combat sleep apnea. Sleep apnea is a very common sleep disorder causing roughly 1 in 15 or approximately 21 million Americans to make abnormal breathing pauses while asleep. Each pause, called an apnea, can last from a few seconds to minutes and may occur 5 to 30 times or more an hour. Common effects of sleep apnea include daytime fatigue, reduced attentiveness, and difficulty in working effectively. Researchers at Waseda University's KB Lab have now developed a large robotic teddy bear which measures blood oxygen level and snoring noises while serving as a pillow. If the bear detects an apnea, it moves its arm to gently brush the sleeper's face, causing them to turn from lying on their back and resettle in a different position that is more conducive to a sound night's sleep. For more information on Curiosity, a video of the robot teddy bear pillow, as well as other news, have a look at www.robotspodcast.com.
Henrik Christensen, Chair of KUKA and Director of the Center for Robotics and Intelligent Machines, is involved in the Robotics Roadmap, an initiative to set up and coordinate robotics research in the US and worldwide. He spoke to our reporter Sabine about the funding landscape in the United States and the future of robotics funding in the US and elsewhere.
Hi, Henrik. Welcome to the Robots Podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Can you tell us more about the US roadmap?
Sure. So the US roadmap was really an effort to try and bring together all of the different players in the US. Traditionally, both the planning and also the strategy has been very fragmented. So we said it's time to try and really bring together all of the different actors to show what would be a coherent strategy for moving robotics forward in the US. That has already existed in Japan and in Asia and also in Europe, but it hasn't really existed in the US before. So that was a new opportunity to bring us together.
And what is this common strategy?
Well, so the common strategy was that we started out by having four different workshops, one across manufacturing and logistics, one in services, one in medicine, and then one about emerging technologies. And from that, we synthesized what are the key problems that needs to be addressed. And it identified basically 10 areas where we should be doing new R&D.
Can you give us an idea of what these areas are briefly?
Well, so some of them are architecture's representation, safe manipulation, new robust perception, human interaction. So it covers most of the core areas that you would find in robotics.
Do you have any idea of how much money is spent in robotics in the U.S.?
So I have to give you two different answers. So the answer is that in military robotics, we're talking about several hundred million dollars that are being spent primarily on ground robots and aerial robots. And then in civilian robotics, it's a much smaller number. It's probably on the order of $15 million, something like that. So it's a relatively small number in comparison. The reason why most of it is spent in military robotics is that today we have 10,000 ground robots that are deployed in Afghanistan and Iraq. And we also have about 10,000 aerial robots that are being used for doing surveillance.
How much research do you think is done in the universities versus the industry?
So it's about 50-50. So half of it is done by large corporations like SAIC, Boeing, GM, all of these very large companies. And then the other half is done by all of the universities.
Would you say there's one main field of focus, one field where a lot of the money is going? You mentioned military robots. Is that the one?
So traditionally, it's been military. It's been very, very strong in comparison to, you know, we don't do this in Europe. And one of the reasons why we haven't done that in Europe is because the Rome Treaty from 1961 actually prohibits the European Commission from funding military research.
Okay, that's interesting. I didn't know that. Okay, the next thing I wanted to ask is, basically, how is this money split up between pure fundamental research and applications?
So, I would say that something like 70% of the research has been spent more application-oriented, and 30% has been basic research. And what we've tried is then, there's been a problem that the applied research has had very little connection to the basic research. So that was what we wanted to do with the roadmap. We wanted to have a clear definition of what are some of the long-term interesting drivers from a societal point of view, and how can we tie in the fundamental research so that the fundamental research has a clear link to why would we care about it. And so we really needed to make sure that the applied research leveraged basic research and the basic research was relevant, so that we would have more of a connection between the two areas.
Can you give an example?
Well, so an example would be, I can give a very concrete example. When I started doing autonomous vacuum cleaners, for instance, initially Electrolux came to me and they said, you know, I want you to develop a navigation system for me. And I said, oh, I have all of these techniques. And I showed it to them. And they said, yeah, by the way, it can only cost $50. And then I totally had to rethink how I would do my fundamental research, because they had some requirements I had never thought about. So that's why it's very important that we think about some of the real-world problems and we tie it back to what is the basic research we do.
So we have all these numbers now. Can you give us a snapshot of what robotics in the U.S. is today?
So U.S. today, if you think about it, I already mentioned we have 20,000 robots that are used in military for military surveillance. We have 5 million vacuum cleaners that are actually being deployed in U.S. homes. We have 1,000 robots that are being used in medical procedures, so they're having a huge impact on medical procedures. So in service areas, we're also starting to see them being deployed. So we're really seeing a very large impact of robotics right now.
So we mentioned before that Europe, before a certain year, couldn't fund research in military.
Right.
And that there are differences in what people fund if you're in Europe or if you're in Japan. Why do you think that is?
Well, so I think there are probably three different reasons for that. One of them is that there's some clear cultural differences. So if you look at in Japan and in general in Asia, they have a very friendly notion of what a robot is. And sort of one of the ultimate things you can do is design a robot in your own image. So building humanoids is very typical. In Europe and in the US, we're a little bit freaked out. If you design a humanoid robot, then yeah, maybe not. We want a service instead. So that's why we've sort of focused on different kinds of things. And service robotics is very strong in Europe. And US traditionally has had a need to remove people from where the action is, and that's why a lot of the R&D has been through the military.
Do you think these qualities are complementary?
Oh, very much. They're very much complementary. So you're seeing, you know, in Asia, they're really studying the more intimate interaction with people. In Europe, we've very much looked at the services, and we've also been very strong on doing manufacturing types of applications. And then finally, in the US, it's been the strategic. And I think we will see them blend together over the next 5 years.
Now, a word on the future. How do you see robotics in the future for the US?
Well, so I think it's going to be a major area. I think it's going to be a major area for the entire. So I've said over the last 20 years, what has revolutionized our world is the internet. 20 years ago, if I told you that you would probably be Twittering and Facebooking and reading email 10 times a day, you would say, no, I don't think so. Now we do this all the time. When we connect the internet to the physical world, that's when we get robotics. So the next big revolution after the internet is going to be robotics.
Do you have a timeline?
Within the next 10 years.
Okay. Thanks, Henrik, for being here with us on Robots.
Thank you.
This interview was recorded at the International Conference on Human-Robot Interactions in Switzerland this spring. So for the very latest updates and developments in Robotics Roadmap, you can follow Henrik Christensen's blog on wordpress.com. As Christmas is fast approaching now, like last year, we're asking you, our listeners, to submit Christmas videos or audio tracks related to robotics and the holidays. Contributions can be fictional, scientific, or business-oriented. We'll be posting the material on our dedicated YouTube channel, and select segments will be featured in our podcast episodes until the end of this year. To submit material, simply go to robotspodcast.com/Christmas or send us your material by email to christmas@robotpodcast.com. To get in the spirit, have a look at the videos submitted last year, some of which gathered millions of views. We're looking forward to receiving those submissions, and we'll be back in 2 weeks' time. Goodbye. Roadmap with Robots, the podcast for news and views on robotics.